In the name of Jesus, the Lord of the church, dear family of God, do you suppose that if at a baptism, rather than squawking, the baby just sat up and started talking, do you think the baby would have everybody's attention? Talking about a little baby here. Just sits up in somebody's arms and starts saying, I'm glad you're here today. I decided I'd get baptized today. I told my mom and dad they needed a baby. I told them when I should be born. And I said I need to be reborn today. I decided that today would be my day. You all know it's ridiculous, and yet this is how our human mind works. There's something in our DNA as human beings that makes us always want to take credit for life and take control of death too. I mean, you look in our society, there's a world of people out there that want to take away from the government the God-given right of capital punishment. But instead, they want to give to the mother the right to end the life of her baby as long as it's not born yet. If it's born, then we have long public trials. The father has nothing to say about the life of the baby in her womb, but if it's born, he's obligated to take care of it. Bad law, as argued by one lawyer long ago. But see, it's this idea of arrogance and pride over life and death issues. And it's in the church too. There are doctrines, you've heard about them, but the names may be like Roman Catholic semi-Pelagianism or Reformed theology, decision theology, or Lutheran pietism, or my own sinful heart, trying to take credit as if God's going to love me more if I work harder. And when I feel I haven't done enough, you know the feeling. You get depressed and down because you haven't done enough. What is that except our heart looking here to try to find comfort? And all that is death. It's an arrogance of our human pride. If God left us this way, we would never have hope alive. Of all the places to go to church, when God takes us back to church, I would not choose this one. The hand of the Lord was upon me, Ezekiel says, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me into the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. I can just hear all the little boys and girls saying, ooh, that's gross. That's not where we want to have church, in this big valley of bones. But it gets worse. He says, he led me back and forth. It almost like he flew me over this valley, looking at all these dry bones back and forth, around and around among them. And I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. And he asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, oh, sovereign Lord, you alone know. Pretty good answer, huh? Lord asks you something like that. Hey, can all these bones live? Oh, God, it's a lot I don't understand. I guess I got to leave that one to you. Dry bones. You want to stay away from the death. I can still remember when I was a boy, there was a boy about my age in our congregation. My dad was called up to go and identify his body because he had been washed overboard from a fishing vessel. And my dad told us kids it was kind of hard to tell who he was after he'd been in the ocean for a few days. The closest I ever got to something dead was the neighbor's cat that got some kind of crazy disease and was over by the hedge at the neighbor's. And I just remember standing off with my brothers watching this cat die. We couldn't do anything, but boy, you want to stay away from that. And you know sometimes at a funeral how sometimes you see the body in the casket And it just looks like the person's sleeping, and just your mind just thinks, well, they're just going to wake up and start talking. But no matter how hard people cry about the loss of a loved one, it doesn't work that way. See, it works the way God said it would when God cursed Adam, right? The first Adam. After the funeral, when the flesh is gone and there's nothing but bones left, they get very dry, and then they turn to dust and ashes. Because the Lord said, dust you are, and to dust you will return. And it's not just our bodies. It's our souls too. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. The baby can't sit up and claim credit for being born again. Neither can you and I. Neither can we claim credit for life. Dry bones. You really think this is the solution now, okay? We're in a very technological age, got all sorts of engineering medical marvels. Medicine is supposedly at its height. You suppose this is what you ought to do in order to take dry bones on a valley floor and make them live. He said to me, prophesy, that just means preach. Preach to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life, and you will know that I am the Lord. Preaching? You think you'd do it? Or would you just say to the Lord, I think I can think of more practical solutions to the problem than preaching. Ezekiel says, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together. Imagine that. You're watching on this valley, and all these dry bones are scattered all over. And it literally says in the Hebrew that his bone went to his bone. And leg bone connected to the thigh bone. You know, that's actually where that came from. It all just got connected right up. And then there were tendons and flesh appeared on them and skin was stretched over them. But there was no breath in them. Kind of like we have an awful lot of Christians in this country that look a lot like Christians. But are they? Are they Christians, or are they just like skeletons covered with sinews and muscle and bone and standing up? I kind of wonder if some of our members don't feel that way sometimes, quite frankly. Sometimes we have members that give the impression that if they have their name in a church directory someplace, that they must then have everything covered. The old story about baptized, married, and buried from the church, you kind of wonder, how deep does that get into our society that maybe even among us that gets... I mean, are we breaking the third commandment by despising preaching in God's word when we don't even have an hour to hear God's word week by week? Okay, an hour and 5 or 15, however pastor goes on it. But you know what I'm saying. Breaking the third commandment is still sin against God. He doesn't tell us what day, but he doesn't tell us to stop worshiping. You're free to stop worshiping me? No. Breaking the third commandment is as much of a sin as a serial killer committing murders against the fifth commandment, or teenagers, or nowadays we have to say the elderly too, sleeping around against the sixth commandment. What did Jesus say to all of us? He said, unless you repent, you too will all perish. He doesn't want bodies without the breath in them. And what is his solution? More preaching. We're not to the amen yet. More preaching, he says. So I preached. He said to me, prophesy to the breath. prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain that they may live. Prophesy and preach to them all the more, Ezekiel, so that they hear the word of the Lord. One of the hardest things to do when you're depressed is to go back to church. Or if somebody said something that embarrassed you or just was plain unkind. Or just the busyness of life. So many things get in our way, but when the Lord says, keep the Sabbath, he literally says, guard the Sabbath. That's what he's saying. Guard it from the world around you and your own sinful heart. Guard the Sabbath from anything that would keep you from hearing the word of the Lord and being more than a skeleton on sticks, having that breath of life in you. Back in the days when pastors had to walk the lonely pathways and the highways and byways of the community to get to members' homes, a pastor came upon the little cottage where a friend of his, longtime friend, lived, and he hadn't seen this man in church for quite some time. Always welcoming the man, opened the door, invited him in by the fire. Wasn't a day like today, but oh, it just felt so good to sit down and just talk. And the man started going on and on about what a tough year it had been, how hard it was to get the crops in the fall. And you know, it seemed like the ewes just kept on miscarrying their lambs, and the milk cow got mastitis, and it was just one thing after another. The pastor just listened as his friend went on and on. And then finally he got up and he went over by the fire, and he took a pair of tongs, and he reached in, and he got out a red-hot coal and just set it off on the stone hearth. Didn't say a word. He just went back and sat down again, and in silence, the two of them watched. All by itself, that red-hot coal just gradually dimmed down and died. And the man said, I see what you're saying, Pastor. He realized that without the word of God, faith would die in his heart. He never missed another Sunday. You see, prophesying put life into those bones. They stood up and they lived. I prophesied as I was commanded, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. We are not gentlemen farmers living in little cozy cottages out there in the countryside. This side of heaven, it will always be a battleground. So I was working on this sermon, and the doorbell rings. Young man walks up carrying a clipboard. How you doing today? He says, oh, I'm doing fine, a little hot, but I'm dealing with it. And as he holds up the clipboard, I see one word as he's introducing himself and saying he's fundraising. I see the word pro-choice. I did not try to hide my amazement. I said, you're actually pro-choice? Does that mean that you want to give a choice to the baby whether it gets born or not? No, he says. I'm trying to keep abortion safe and legal. I said, there are no safe abortions. Every abortion, the baby dies. Unless by, you know, some accident or something. But, well, he says, after the say, he says, we have to keep them safe and legal. And then he says, oh, there's always rape and incest. So I says, yeah, but that's less than 1% of all of them. And as he turns around triumphantly to walk away, he says, I trust the women. What? To kill their babies? You trust them to kill their babies? If you think somebody has to die, why don't you kill the rapist? Of course, by then he's gone. While Christians seem to be getting more and more tired about speaking up for those who cannot speak for themselves, and Christians seem to be just ready to accept what's going on in our society, the society of death that we're in, the other side is pushing all the harder. And it was no different in ancient times either, because then the Lord said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel." You see how blessed we are when God tells us these things, or when you have those bad days. Like Paul said, when I am weak, then I am strong. Those bad days are the days when you stop and realize, I really need God's help. And you get it. You always get it from God. We're so dead in our transgressions and sins, we hate death, we try to stay away from it. It's as disgusting to us as roadkill. Like if I'm riding my bike along the road and I see a dead deer in the ditch up ahead, or I smell a skunk dead up ahead, I stop breathing until I get past it. God saw us dead, and he stopped. And he died. And he rose again. And he promised. And he did what he promised. So the prophet Ezekiel is told, these are the whole house of Israel saying, our bones are dried up, our hope is gone, and we are cut off. Therefore prophesy, preach to them, and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, oh my people. These loving words, oh my people. I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. It's the first resurrection, really, when you're born again by water and the Spirit. You can't take credit like the baby, but you can sure praise God. I'll open your graves and bring you up from them and back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, with my name on you, see, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my Spirit in you and you will live. You'll be able to enjoy God's blessings by faith in Jesus. You will live. I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it, says the Lord. He stopped. He died. And when he died, he said, it is finished. And he promised to send the Holy Spirit so that we could live. And he sends that Holy Spirit whenever the word is preached and the sacrament is received, or you think on your baptism. I wouldn't choose preaching either. But it's God's way for pastor and for people to hear the word of the Lord and live. A vast army that's ready to, well, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's stand up for Jesus. Stand up for Jesus.